Bacon, everything all good? Hello, come on in. We'll go ahead and receive our offering this evening. Of the year that it is. Would you rather it be the dead of winter? No? Okay. Brother Ralph says we need a text tonight, and I don't have a text. He said, where are you basing this sermon? I said, it might be the first time I've ever preached a baseless sermon. I don't have a text to turn to, but one of our verses, the first one to mention, is Ecclesiastes 3:1. It says, to everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven. And the seasons are beautiful right now. Down in Florida, where Brother Nick is, beautiful seasons. They call the panhandle Florida with seasons, is what they call it, since the rest of the state doesn't really have seasons as much. So I don't know if you agree with that or if it's just rain. Is that
sunshine,
all it is?
And rain, and
two seasons, sunshine and rain. Okay. To everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven. Remember that verse. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, God is not the author of confusion, which could be translated disorder or imbalance. God is not the author of disorder. God is not the author of imbalance, but of peace. He's not the author of confusion, it says. Proverbs 28:2 says, a man of understanding, by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state shall be prolonged. The word state there also meaning balance. The balance. A man of understanding and knowledge, by a man of understanding and knowledge, the balance, that kind of state, shall be prolonged. Okay? So there's three verses for you in this baseless sermon so far. God wants for us to live balanced lives. And these verses give example of that. The entire world is an example. It's based on the principle of balance. The world of nature, perfectly balanced. The earth is tilted at a certain angle and rotates a certain number of miles per hour. And if it rotated a little faster or a little slower, there'd be problems, there'd be vibrations, and other wind and weather-related problems. If the world were just a little closer to the sun, we would burn up. If we were just a few miles further away from the sun, then we would freeze to death. And so the only global warming to worry about is when fire and brimstone start falling from the sky. That's a day yet to come to the earth. Until then, the world is in balance. In nature, ecologists study the ecosystems and their balance. Where the food chain has checks and balances, all of nature has checks and balances to take care of things. And speaking of checks and balances, even your finances have checks and balances and need to be balanced, right, for things to not get out of order. In your body, doctors say that when you get sick, it's due to all the different illnesses that you can have. Can all fit under the umbrella of imbalance. There's an imbalance of some sort in your body. Maybe you've known someone and said, they're imbalanced. Unstable. You know what I'm saying? Don't point at people. I was getting you to think of them. I didn't know they were in the room. health comes when your body is restored to balance. The red and the white corpuscles are balanced and your hormones are balanced. Sometimes they're not. But for the most part, your hormones are balanced. And all through your life, everything in life is a juggling act. There's things to balance, to juggle. It all focuses toward equilibrium. And equilibrium is the principle of balance. God wants for our lives, our personal lives, to be balanced, our spiritual lives to be balanced, our physical lives, etc. Now, there's a problem that I see quite often in people, including the guy I look at in the mirror, and that is a problem of imbalance. And of all the different topics that we can talk about in a counseling session or in a sermon, most of them can fit under the umbrella of imbalance. It's a disease that has many different symptoms, but the root is the same, because you can be imbalanced in anything. You can be imbalanced in your sleeping, in your eating. I mean, are any of us perfectly balanced in our eating? Well-balanced diet? You can be imbalanced in your work, imbalanced in your play, everything. The way that you use your time, hobbies, in anything. The problem is, most of us have a tendency to work on our public lives and let our private lives slide. That's imbalance. When you're working on your public life, your persona, your rep, you know, and not your character, the more hidden things of the heart. We work on how we look and how we smile and how we talk, but our private life, not so balanced as we try to look on the outside. Now, speaking of what we look like, imagine photographs. Imagine bad photographs. Our lives today are like bad photographs. We're overexposed and underdeveloped. This is our problem now. May I say the word Facebook? We are overexposed and underdeveloped. Can I say eHarmony.com? Who is that person? Well, that looks like the most balanced person I've ever seen. I can't believe they're single. Who are they really? Nothing like that at all. They are overexposed publicly, underdeveloped, you know, in private. Who are they? They really. My wife today at lunch made a comment to me about something that I did. I said, I can't believe you did that. Divorce court is next, or something like that. And I made the comment, oh, there's a lot of women out there that would like to have me, honey. And she said, not doing that. And I said, they wouldn't know that I do that until it's too late. Because I'd be overexposed, but underdeveloped, they'd find out in the long run, right? Get the point here. Can't believe she said that, though. We run into problems when our personal life in all areas is not balanced. And what follows imbalance? Number one, frustration. Frustration follows imbalance. Back a while ago, when the kids were a little bit smaller, we took them to see a juggler down at the library, I think it was, this juggler. He had these poles, you know, lots of poles in a line, and he would spin dishes on top of the poles. You know, you've seen the guys do that. He'd start spinning the dish until it was perfectly twirling and it was balanced on there, and then he would move to the next one and start that dish and the next one. And the problem is, by the time he gets down to this one, what was happening to the one down on the end? It was running out of steam, and it was getting imbalanced, and it was about to fall, and he'd have to run down to that one trying to keep them all going. And I was looking at that on that day, and I still remember thinking to myself, what I'm seeing is what my life feels like. I feel like I'm doing what this guy is doing, trying to keep all these different things in the air, trying to keep everything balanced, and too many irons in the fire, too many dishes in the air, too many balls in the air. You know what I mean? And many of us go from this to that, and they work on this area of our life, and we stop working on this area of our life, and then wonder why this area slides, and we got to run over here, and we're living, bowing at the altar of the urgent, instead of living a balanced life. The balanced life often says less is best, you know? Don't try to do it all, because you'll do it all poorly. Try to do just a few things, and do those things well, and have balance in your life. just about the time we get one area of our life in balance, another area starts to fall off, literally. And frustration is a result that comes from imbalance, from being an imbalanced person. Another thing that follows, frustration, follows, fatigue follows. That's number two, is fatigue. Trying to do it all. You get really tired when your life is out of balance. Anybody who's ever bought a car or a new set of tires knows that with those tires, you've got to get those balanced. If the tires on your car are not balanced, you're going to have a bumpy ride. There's going to be vibrations. Car won't handle the shocks and the bumps so well. And fatigue will happen, and they will wear out sooner if they're imbalanced. They'll wear unevenly, and they'll wear out sooner. That's what happens in our lives, too, when we have imbalanced lives. An imbalanced tire rubs in the wrong place, as we said. You get a bald spot. You get a bald spot with an imbalanced tire, right? A couple of guys here might be imbalanced as well then. You get a bald spot. Just don't have a blowout, please, okay? We'd appreciate that. Likewise, in your life, you'll get rubbed the wrong way, and you'll have a big blowout. Tires blow out. People burn out. People burn out because of imbalance. And just like a tire that's out of balance wears the wrong way, we will wear out more quickly as well, get tired, no pun intended. So, does the Bible have anything to say about being imbalanced? Let's turn to Luke 2:52. Yes, you're going to use your Bible in church tonight after all. Luke chapter 2, and some of you may know what verse 52 says without turning. But turn anyway for Brother Ralph. Luke 2:52 says that Jesus lived a balanced life. Jesus increased in wit. Look at your verse there. Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Those four things in Luke 2:52, he increased in wisdom. That is, he grew spiritually or psychologically, intellectually. Jesus increased in wisdom, you could say intellectually. He increased in stature, that's physically. He increased in favor with God, that's spiritually that he grew, and man, socially. There's an example of a balanced, perfectly balanced person. Jesus balanced in all these areas. Now, there's five areas of our personal life that I will cover that we need to keep in balance. Number one, let's talk about mental, okay? Let's go mental first. Number one is mental. Ready to go mental? You already there? Okay. Number one, mental balance. Romans 12:2, you need not turn, says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." There's mental. A mental balance by this renewed mind. This passage in Romans 12 basically teaches us, don't let the world squeeze you into its own mold. Have mental balance, unlike the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, because it all starts right there. What are we transformed by? Not willpower, is it? It's not willpower. Well, I need to lose weight. I need willpower. No, we have to have a change of mind. We have to decide to do this. Are we transformed by working real hard? No, it's by the renewing of our mind. That's where it starts. Mental balance. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Mental balance. And how can we have mental balance in this filthy world in which we live? We need a screening process. We need a filter of what is allowed to come in the gates, the eye gate and the ear gate and all the gates. the food gate, the water gate. Watergate. We shouldn't just allow anything to come into our thought life indiscriminately. If we want mind balance, we've got to have a screening process, have a filter that things pass by. Jesus said, when you know the truth will set you free. And when you fill your mind with truth and only things of truth will fit through the filter, we find freedom, freedom in our lifestyle. We find mental balance. Number two, we need physical balance. Physical balance. 1 Corinthians 6 says in verse 19, what? It does a double take. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of God, that ye have of God, and that ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your spirit and in your body, which after all are God's. There's the body, physical balance. Our body is the temple. What are we going to put into this body? Are we going to glorify God in this body? Ask yourself this question, not out loud. Don't answer it either out loud, but ask this question and answer it inside your head. Okay, with our inside voice, answer this question. Am I constantly complaining about being tired? Am I sick and tired of being sick and tired? There's a way out from that. Physical balance. We first have the balance in our mind, and then we decide to make a difference in what we're doing to our bodies, what we're doing with our bodies. I remember an old Peanuts cartoon where Lucy's playing baseball and she's running out to the outfield, running out in the outfield after a ball. I've got it, I've got it. And the ball flies over her head, plunks down behind her, and she's standing there with her hand open and the ball still beyond her reach. She throws the ball back to Charlie Brown, who's standing on the mound. She says, "Sorry about that, manager. My body just doesn't seem to want to do what my brain tells it to do." And Charlie says, "I can understand that. My body and brain haven't spoken in years." Some of us are that way too, you know? We're disjointed, and that's imbalanced. Physical balance includes getting in shape, getting it together. And for anybody who says, "No, it's too late for me, can't teach an old dog new tricks," listen to this. I found this article by a guy named Dr. Kenneth Cooper. He is the man who invented aerobics. Okay? Not Jane Fonda. Kenneth Cooper. He tells the story of a lady who was 46 years old, and she came to him. She had back pain so terrible that she could not walk further than 75 feet without having to sit down. She was stooped over, couldn't stand. As a result, it killed her social life and everything, and she was in constant pain. When she came to Dr. Cooper, he advised that she have back surgery. She said no, she wanted to try something else. And she had this idea. She started walking on her treadmill. She found that if she put the treadmill at an angle, you know how you can angle your walk there, that with her stooped over condition with her back, she could walk without being in pain for about 25 seconds. She could do that. So she began to walk several times a day for 25 seconds at that angle. And then she found out that she could lower the angle a few days later and could go longer than 25 seconds. So she just kept the process of lowering the angle and walking a little bit more. Then she started doing some slow jogging with her routine. And then she was running 3 miles and 5 miles and 10 miles. And he says she has today run 9 marathons. The best time of 3 hours and 3 minutes, which is about as good as any person of any age can do. Any of us can have change if we want to. It starts with a mental balance, and then our mind talking to our body and just making a decision and seeking that. Now, saying all that, is that lady balanced? If she's focusing everything on her body? Probably not. Some other areas of her life are probably sliding. Other areas are important, so I'm not trying to turn people into marathon runners, because most of those are on Sunday. Anyway, okay? But you get the illustration there. There's other areas, like number three, spiritual balance. We need to have spiritual balance. That's part of our personal life. Really, it should be part of every area of our life. 2 Peter 3:18 says, grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we do two things to grow as a Christian. Grow in grace and grow in knowledge of Jesus. You have intellectual growth by growing in knowledge, right? We know content of the Bible. And we should also grow in grace, and that's growing in our relationship, our intimacy with God. So there's the two things, growing in knowledge and growing in grace. Now let's draw a line between the two. The first one there, growing in knowledge, that describes a whole lot of Christians today. They know about God. They know the books of the Bible. Pastor Jeremy was talking about this Sunday night. They know the books of the Bible, or they've memorized verses. They know who Nebuchadnezzar is. They know that an epistle is not the wife of an apostle, and that Noah's wife was not Joan of Arc. They know facts, but did they grow in grace? We need to both grow in knowledge and in grace. 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's balance for you in the spiritual life. I'm saying this at church to people who come on Wednesday nights because it doesn't mean that we're necessarily balanced. We might have a lot of knowledge here. That's growing in knowledge. We need to have some heart knowledge, growing in grace. That's a balanced spiritual life. That's having the real thing, you know? The talk and the walk, both. And then we could talk about emotional balance. Emotional balance. I forgot my watch and our clock broke. This is not good. Do the math. Do the math. Okay. Emotional balance. Galatians 5, beginning in verse 22, talks about the fruit of the Spirit being love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. It's the picture of a perfect, emotionally balanced person, having the fruit of the Spirit, having these nine qualities. When you're emotionally stable, you're not blown away by life. You're not blown up in a crisis when you're emotionally balanced. That's a picture of Jesus, who is our best example of love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness, temperance. Picture of Jesus. He's all those things wrapped into one. He's our example of an emotionally balanced person. Do you have the tendency to worry constantly? Are you a moody person? How dare you call me that? See? Do you let your moods go up and down on a manic roller coaster ride? Are you mastered by your emotions and your moods rather than you being in charge and you managing them? Are you often depressed? I mean, we're all depressed at some times, right? But do you live there? Are you just depressed a whole lot of the time? I think emotional balance is a combination of these fruits of the Spirit and confidence in Christ and contentment in life leads to emotional stability, the fruits of the Spirit. Number five, the fifth area, is social balance. Just like Jesus grew in favor with man, social balance as well. Talking about relationships now, our relationships. You can have everything right in life. The good job and the house with that fence, you know, and the kids stair-stepped and bills paid and things like that. But if your relationships are lousy, life stinks, you know? Because the world is a wonderful place, except for the people. And and there's a lot of people. They're everywhere. Relationships, social balance. You can be a millionaire and be popular and be well-known and successful, but if you have people that you're at odds with, life is tough. So you need social balance in your life. I need it too. Romans 12:16 says, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things. Condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. It's a picture of social balance there. The same mind one to another is just basically the golden rule. Do unto others. How does it say? Before they do it to you. That's today's version, isn't it? That's today's version. He knows better. Do unto others. Now, I can't remember the real one. Yeah. And Jesus said it too, didn't he? As you, all things as you would have men do unto you, do also to them, or something of that like. So, to be of the same mind one to another is to live in harmony with one another. Look up the word balance in the dictionary, Webster's Dictionary. It says, when all of the parts are in harmony. Balance. When all the parts are in harmony. When all of your relationships are in harmony, then you're in social balance. Well, most of my relationships are in harmony. I mean, you're not talking about them, because, I mean, if I told you what they did to me, you would say, you should hold that against them. That's imbalanced, right? Having bitterness towards someone? Imbalanced. When all of our relationships are in harmony, then we're in social balance. In a Reader's Digest article called Seven Secrets of Peak Performance, Dr. Charles Garfield, professor of the University of California Medical in San Francisco, head of a research place called Peak Performance, said this. I'm really blowing up his credentials here. They studied 1,500 outstanding achievers in all walks of life, people who are big-time achievers, business, athletics, pro sports, education, every area of life. They were looking for common denominators, and they found seven of them, and the number one at the top of the list was that they led, here's his wording, a well-rounded life. What's one word for well-rounded? Balanced. It's balanced. A balanced life. High achievers, we often hear, are extremists that spend all their time on one thing. He says that's a misconception. He said high performers are willing to work hard, but within strict limits. Work is not everything. He interviewed top executives in 10 major industries, and he found that they knew how to relax, and they knew how to leave their work at the office, and they had their social relationships with people in balance. They prized their close friends, and they had a family life, and they spent a healthy amount of time with their children and their intimates. These are things that the Bible tells us to do. These are things of a spiritual nature, we know, being balanced. Another article from Success Magazine says, a doctor for the past 26 years studied 5,000 professional men and women, and he interviewed 5,000 people at least twice a year for 26 years. He's written two books, one about men, the other about women. And he talks about how women who sacrifice their personal life for a career are imbalanced. He says, if they sacrifice their personal life for a career, that they were imbalanced. The interviewer asks in the article, you say that ambitious women have been sold a bill of goods. How so? His answer, quote, they've been told that life is a choice between a career and a satisfying personal life. Mike, for over 26 years, finds that hogwash. The woman who pours herself into her career and shelves her personal life eventually suffers in all areas of life, including her career. The one thing that she was saying, now this is the area that I'm going to succeed in. Even that too. The whole article talks about this principle of balance. And at the end, the interviewer asked this question. Basically, what you're saying is that any time any one part of your life becomes all important, everything in your life, including that part that you made all important, crumbles. And he said, that's right. He said, that's an astonishing find in its own way, because ever since we were children, we were told to concentrate single-mindedly and to keep ourselves focused. But we need to be well-rounded. Well, it's not just about Success Magazine or Reader's Digest articles, okay? This balance thing is a biblical thing, balance in our personal life. And the Bible gives us three things to do to get started. Three suggestions on how to really get back to balance. And before I tell you those, Proverbs 14:8 says, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. So to formulate this and think through these three biblical steps, very important. A few verses later, Proverbs 14:15 says, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. That's having a plan. That's mapping it out. That's why it's very important for us to look at these three biblical ways to find balance again, because wise people think about where they are headed and look ahead. The Bible says, prudent man sitteth down and counts the cost before he builds a tower. So it's important for us to know these three things. Are you ready for them? Next week. Next week, we'll do that. Okay? Since you're well-balanced, you're faithful, you'll be here for it. And you won't miss those three things. All right? Yeah. Let's write down some praises. First of all, if you've got something to be thankful for. By the way, these kids are doing good listening for this long, aren't they? And I'm talking about the deacons. And the